Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. So we're gathered back together. I am so glad every time you tune in. I trust that everything we say and do here is a blessing to you, as a lifter up, an encouragement to you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our subject has been, are you ready? Here it is, to speak up or shut up. That is the question. And this is actually part two of that. So let me show you a brief review of part one, and then we'll get right into the main topic of today. So we go to this understanding of Scripture. There's a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. And it says there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. By the way, let me put in a little commercial here. We have a whole book written for soldiers called A Time to Kill and A Time to Heal, based on the same Scripture. There are 24 seasons mentioned in this chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. 24 different seasons. To everything there's a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. And so you may want to look at that soldier book, Time to Kill, Time to Heal, because everybody has to kill for one reason or another, has to heal. But our study today is simply this. It's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. That's the nice, gentle King James way of saying there's a time to shut up and there's a time to speak up. And so that's our subject, and we're pursuing it now. And last time we were together, our subject was the first half, was why would a person want to be silent? And so here's what we concluded. To prevent sin, because in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. To prevent foolishness, the fool just utters everything that's in his mind without even thinking it through. It's better to be silent than, and in order to prevent rashness, in other words, unthought through, the Scripture says, remember it, be not rash with thy mouth. God is in heaven and thou art on the earth, therefore let thy words be few. Okay? And then we learn that it prevents strife, grievous words stir up anger. Then we learn how silence is designed to prevent the spread of iniquity, the narcissism being expressed. It provokes other people who are narcissistic to be narcissistic back. And now we've got this going on worldwide, nation against nation, person against person, race against race. It's all crazy. It's because of the iniquity. It's narcissism. And that is the core issue of every human being that needs to be resolved. It is the opposite to love. So silence to prevent the spread of iniquity. And then to prevent the misuse of deadly force. And what is a deadly force? Remember, we learned that the power of death and life is in the tongue. We don't want to use our tongue as a deadly force to hurt, damage people, not just children, but everyone. And then to be silent, we learn to terminate mischief and deceit. Stop. Be silent instead of concocting notions of troublemaking. And then to avoid being a busybody, and that Scripture says, study to be quiet. Study to be quiet so you can get your work done. So another reason to be silent. To possess the joy and gladness of fulfillment. Ah, ha, ha. You get to relish. Because of your quietness, all the profitability that you've experienced. Why be silent? Because it increases the chances of being heard. Because your speech now is placed in the background of silence, as opposed to your speech now being in the background of chatter, 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 chatter. So you get heard. It stands out. Silence increases your chances of being heard. Remember, it says the words of a wise man are heard more in the quiet. And then to establish the lordship of Jesus Christ. People want nobody to be lord over what they say. And thus we have the misuse of one of our chief amendments, the freedom of speech. The problem is, if you misuse the freedom, you destroy the freedom. Because freedom is not the right to say what we want to say, but the power to say what we ought to say. So, we need something to happen to bring us into line to control our speech. Because out of the abundance of the heart, people speak. And so Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, comes walking through the centuries into the hearts and lives of people today who will openly receive him and make him the Lord, the boss, the manager. And you can trust him. You can trust him because he loves you and he's really smart. And the last thing we learned was another reason to be silent is to empower what I do speak. But that's all in the past. Right now, we're moving on to part two. First part was, why keep silent? And now our subject is, when and why should we speak? And I hope this is good news to you. The scripture's got great advice. So here we go. Number one. Speak only after you've been fully informed. Oh, get that written down in your notes. Speak only after you have been fully informed. Look at the scripture. He that answers a matter, any subject, before he hears the rest of it, look at this, it is folly and shame. Oh, why would you try to answer something when you don't know the whole question? So, when and why to speak? We speak only after we've been fully informed. And that's why the scripture comes and says this. And I love how the scriptures address you. My beloved brethren, that's you. Let every man be, watch this now, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to react. That's the word wrath, is reaction. For the reaction of a man worketh not the righteousness of God. Well, this scripture is so jammed and packed with good advice. So here it is. Be swift to hear. Got two ears, one mouth. But that's not the reason. Be swift to hear, be slow to speak, and slow to react to what you hear. For your reaction, unthought through probably, that's the difference between a reaction and a response. A response is thought through, a reaction is... For the wrath of man, the reaction of man does not work the righteousness of God. Speak only after being fully informed. I want to go back to the scripture. I don't want you to miss this. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly. He's going to make big mistakes. And it's a shame. It's embarrassing to him. So what does that mean? It means you ask questions. It means no prejudging what you think should be said or not said. No assumptions. No presumptions. No listening to evil reports. No responding to partial information. Remember, he that answers a matter before he hears it, to him it is folly and it is a shame. We must hear the whole thing. Secondly, now before I go on a second, I want you to see it again. Don't miss. Let me tell you why this is important. Jesus put it this way. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word is important. Okay? So I don't want you just to skip through scriptures with me and not get the impact, not let them penetrate your heart and your mind and change your behaviors. So let's look at the scripture again. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame unto him. Can you imagine a court not listening to the evidence and producing a verdict? That's really dumb. So speak only after being fully informed. And then number two, speak only what God once said. Look at the scripture. If any man speak, if you're going to speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, as if you were standing in the place of God. Speak only what God would want said in a given situation. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. And let me tell you a good secret about this. If you speak, if you commit to speak only what God wants said, he will give you ability beyond your natural disposition, inclination, or learning. So, again, if a man minister, let him do it as the ability. God will give you the ability. He's not going to empower you to say what you should not say. He's only going to empower you to say what he would think is right to be said. He does not endorse stupidity or evil speaking. The scripture goes on and says that the reason behind this is that God, in all things, might be glorified through Jesus, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. In other words, speak only what God once said, because that is what will glorify the Lord. So what does it mean to speak only what God has said? It means speak only that which is biblical. You remember how Psalm 1 starts off? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Yeah. The greatest need right now is godly counsel and people listening to godly counsel and shutting down all the speeches that are not what God once said. So, speak only what God once says means speak only what is biblical. It means speaking only that which is true. God is not the author of evil. He's not the author of falsity. Only that which is pure. No mixture of good and bad. True and false. Only what God once said. Only what's biblical. Only what's true and only what's pure. And only what is holy. God intends you never to speak in unholy ways. And only what is edifying. What does that mean? It means, to edify means like, you know, edifice means building. It means, to edify means to build up. To encourage. Don't. If you're going to say, and here's what the scripture says, let everything be done unto edifying. When we talk to anybody, it should be in such a way as they leave that conversation better than they entered it. Speak only after you've been fully informed. Speak only what God wants said. And then speak only in a godly manner. Now, we're not just saying what God says, but we want to say it in the way that God would say it. Here's the scripture here. Now, we have received. Now, watch this. We do not have the spirit of the world. Boy, you should say hallelujah, amen, and jump for joy right there. We are not like them. That's why the scriptures come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. We have not received the spirit of the world. We don't talk like they talk. We don't act like they act. We don't use our tongue the way they use their tongues. We do not point fingers and accuse and exaggerate and shame and bluster and fuss. And it's not what we do. Because we have not received the spirit of the world. But we have received the spirit which is of God. So we're going to talk not only what God says, but in the way that God would say it. You may be well informed about Marshall McLuhan's infamous book called The Medium is the Message. Professor at University of Toronto years ago wrote this book. So if I put out a sign in front of a dry cleaning store that says, "We clean your clothes brighter and whiter," and there's dirt smeared on the sign and the paint's peeling off, the medium has contradicted the message. If a person says, "Huh, I'm so happy today," you wouldn't believe them because the media contradicts the message. Or if somebody said, "I'm so sad today," the medium would contradict the message. So what's important is not only that we speak what God would say, but the manner in which he would say it. Look at here now. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We know what we should speak. We know his word, and we should speak it with the spirit of God, not the spirit of the world. Now, watch this now, because the next verse goes on, which things also we speak. Not in the words which men's wisdom teaches. No smart aleck comments. No embarrassing remarks. No put downs. No shame. No mocking. No scourging. No ridicule. You see, let's go back. The things that we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. Which things we speak. And we speak them not in the words which men's wisdom teaches. Well, look at this now. But that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. In other words, I want to say this, but is there another spiritual law that applies how I should say it? We only say that which is spoken. Not only is it what God wants said, but how. We only speak in a godly manner. What does that mean? It means no threats, no bitterness, no malice, no envy, no strife, no covetousness. Imagine that. I mean, you understand, I have a very difficult task is to list these and not explain every one of them to you. No strife. That's not what we do. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, able to explain. No partiality. We don't treat one person better or different than another. Everybody gets treated first class. No hypocrisy. Speaking in godly manners, no trickery, no treachery, no pretension, no letting on something that's not true. Speaking only in a godly manner. What does that mean? It means speaking lovingly. It means speaking peaceably. You know, let me back up here a bit. Speaking peaceably. Remember Joseph's brothers? They could not speak peaceably to him. Some people just cannot speak peacefully. No, it's not that they cannot. It's that they will not, because they haven't learned the very things that you and I are learning together right here. that we should only speak not only what God wants said, but in the manner in which God speaks it. It's no chance, mere chance, that Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. That the scriptures refer to God as the God of Peace. It's amazing. Then we should be gentle. We should speak gently. Remember, I cited it moments ago. Serve the Lord and must not strive, but be gentle. Get the next two verses, next two words, three words. Unto all men. Not selectively, or gentle with everybody. I love that scripture about that David gave us about God. Thy gentleness has made me great. You want somebody at the other end to hear what you're saying, you be gentle, and they'll listen. Easy to be entreated. In other words, that same passage of scripture that says it should be the wisdom that comes from above is easy to be entreated. People are going to ask you questions, and you don't get offended, you don't get upset, you don't raise your voice. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy. You see, speaking not just what God once said, but speaking it in the manner in which He says it. And He is full of mercy. Speak what God once said. Speak only after you're fully informed. Speak only what God wants said. Speak only in a godly manner. Now, what's this one? Speak only when you can do so graciously. Let me put it up for you. Speak only when you can do so graciously. Now, check the scripture. Let your speech, every talk, every sentence, be always, now don't miss this word, always. Let your speech be always with grace. Seasoned with salt. What does that mean? What do we use salt for? It's more than just a preservative. It's a food flavor enhancer. So when we talk to people, no agitation, aggravation in it. Our speech is always with grace. And it's seasoned in such a way as they like the flavor. They like the taste. Now watch this. Because the scripture says, let your speech always with grace. That's what I'm saying. When and why to speak. You want to speak only when you can do so. If you can't speak graciously, shut up. Be quiet. Zip it. Don't say anything. Because you'll do nothing but damage. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now watch this. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Everybody we speak to, we should do so in such a way, graciously, and they'll like the way you say it because it's seasoned with salt. It's a great flavor. And this is how you know how you ought to answer every man. Now, continuing just for a moment, we are told and admonished not to speak evil of a brother or sister. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. Don't spread evil talk. Now, I wish I had had reference to it. John Wesley's sermon on this is so majestic, so precise, so informative. Because he says, speak not evil of another person, even if it's true. Even if it's true. Now, why would God want you to zip it up when it comes to talking evil about another person? Because he wants us to be constructive about it. If you have aught against your brother, Go to him. Don't go telling everybody else. Don't spread. That's what the devil does. He's the accuser, and he tells everybody all kinds of evils. But the scripture comes and says, speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother is making a judgment. And so he's really speaking evil about the law and judging the law. Oh, you'll understand this a little better in a moment. Watch it now. Because if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but now you've made yourself into a judge. Yeah. You concluded, adjudicated something as if you were the judge. Oh, I should have put up another commercial. Because this, Jesus was really straight up about this. Judge not. Two sentences. Judge not. Judge not. Everybody's walking around thinking like they're the judge. And you undo, according to this scripture, we undo legitimate law. Because we set ourselves up as the law. When in fact, watch the scripture now, we should be a doer of the law and not a judge. A verse that comes to my mind just now is simply this one. To his own master, somebody rises or falls. We are not judges. Nobody, God has not appointed us to be his representative of damnation. Condemnation, adjudicators. That's the difference between discernment and judging. You have to discern things because it's a positive. I'm discerning the condition of this person so I can help them. But the judge is not mine to judge. Because there's only one lawgiver. Guess who that is, right? Who is able to save and to destroy. Who do you think you are that judges another man's servant? So we must learn when and wisely, don't speak evil of a brother or sister. What does that mean? It means no attacks, no accusations, no arguing, no slandering, no bitterness, no prejudging. No grievous speech. No contempt. No pride. No passing on unconfirmed reports. Speak evil of no man. It's important to know when and why to speak and when not to speak. No speaking evil reports. And then we're taught by scripture to greet everyone graciously. Everyone graciously. If you salute your brother only, salute means hello, how are you? If you salute your brother only, what do you more than others? Don't even the fake publicans do the same thing? I'm afraid. Look at this translation. If you exchange greetings only with your own circle, are you doing anything exceptional? Even the pagans do that much. No, you are to be perfect like your Heavenly Father, and certainly we need to know what that means. What does that mean? He treats everybody the same. Treats everybody equally. The scripture says of him, he's not a respecter of persons. He has no priority from one over the other. That's really good news. Can you imagine this wonderful personality of God who treats you with the same dignity that he would treat a king or a queen or Peter or Paul? Amazing. And then when and why we should speak We should always choose our words carefully. So comes now the preacher representing the Lord, and he says, my son, get smart. Hey, can I give you a little news? We've got a whole series coming up. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell this or not, but I'm telling you anyhow. I'm letting you in on a secret. Because I believe in the no secrets principle. That when you're friends, there's no secrets, right? Got a whole series coming up of teachings called Getting Smart, Proverb by Proverb. Each teaching is, you won't believe this is even possible, 3 minutes long, 180 seconds long, on your phone, any time of day. Getting Smart, Proverb by Proverb, and 3 minutes at a shot, and that's coming up. Well, anyhow, back to the scriptures here. From the book of Proverbs, my son, attend unto the wisdom, the smarts. Bow down your ear to the way I understand things so you can understand them the same way. That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. That thou mayest regard cautious, careful. What we say, choose all your words carefully. All of them carefully. Why is this discretion thing so important? Here's why. Because the discretion of a man defers his anger. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Somebody does something wrong, we want to jump on it. We want to make a big deal out of it. We want to amplify it. No. Discretion doesn't do that. Discretion defers his anger. Puts it aside. And it's the glory of a man to pass over a transgression. This is probably one of the most godlike things we can do. You know that. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? While we were yet sinners, Christ died. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, love, another scripture, love covers a multitude of sins. What does it mean? It doesn't mean it covers it up particularly. It means it gets over the sin to reach the person on the other side. That's why Jesus died, not just for the guys on his side, but the enemy on the other side of the field shooting at him. He died for his enemies. Oh. So what's this now? Instead of being angry, we get over the transgressions. This is what love does, to reach the person on the other side. Always choose your words carefully. Take a look at the verse one more time. The discretion of man, discretion. I know all the dynamics that are going on. Stops my anger. And it is a glory to pass over a transgression. And then, when and why to speak? We should always speak the truth in love. So check the scripture. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. That's what happens. Kids got this opinion, that opinion, they get tossed back and forth. Don't be like that, and look at this now, and don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. All right, watch it now, because there will be the sleight of men, the treacherous speech, and cunning craftiness, and they are waiting there to deceive. That's what we're up against. But watch this. In this context, this scripture concludes with this. But speak the truth in love. You know, moments ago we talked about saying only what God wants said and then saying it in the way that God wants it said. Here we are. We speak the truth, but we speak it in love. It's possible to beat somebody over the head with the Bible and they will not be, what? What's wrong with that? Because there's no love there. That's the reason. So we learn to speak the truth in love. And then we must learn to speak it at the right time. Timing is really important. A word fitly spoken. Notice this word, fitly spoken. It's not just any old word. It has to be fitly spoken. It is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It's like it gives framework for the real display. The right word at the right time is like a custom-made piece of jewelry. So you see, my friends, timing is really important. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. What does that mean? Ask ourselves the question. Are we fully informed? Then it would be fitly spoken, but not just fully informed. Have I thought it through what should be said? That's the exercise of prudence. Will the Holy Spirit approve this that I'm about to say? And at the time when I'm about to say it? And is this person ready to listen? Why would you speak to someone who's not listening or not ready to listen? So we must learn to speak the truth at the right time. And then lastly, when we speak, we should be speaking up for the well-being of whoever the listener is. Check the scripture. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace. I didn't say anything. Even from the good. And my sorrow was stirred within me. I was really feeling bad for this person. But then my heart got hot within me. And while I was musing, thinking, the fire burned. Then, after that, spake I with my tongue. Whoa. I kept quiet. Let's go back. I don't want you to miss this. I was dumb with something. I kept my mouth shut. I held my peace. Even though what I thought to say was good. And I felt real bad about these people. My heart was hot within me, though. And I got thinking and thinking. I was musing and musing. And then the fire burned. And then I knew what I should say, how to say it, and why I should say it. And then I spoke with my tongue. Speaking up for the well-being of listeners is being cautious. Quiet. Even though you got something good to say. Quiet. Even though you're feeling bad about their situation. But you begin to muse. Think. It's the opposite to amuse. Amuse means not to think. That's why amusements are dumb, because they teach you not to do something so you don't have to think. While I was musing, while I was thinking, this thing started to burn in me. I finally got exactly what I should say that's going to help this person. And then I spoke with my tongue. Now, this has got to become a rule of action. No exceptions. We speak up for the well-being of the listeners. There is no other reason to speak. Can't use the excuse, it's his life, not my problem. You can't say, he can make up his own mind. Are you your brother's keeper or not? I'm not his mother. That's none of my business. He knows the consequences. I'm not going to say a word. And thus, people get damaged because there was nobody to speak properly into their lives. Words. Remember the scripture. They have life and death in them. It's in the tongue. What we need to do, methinks, right now in our culture, stop evil speaking. Stop listening to evil speaking. Stay quiet. And at the proper time, we speak up. And it's as if we deposit one single thought, one biblical idea, one word of God into somebody's heart so that their lives may grow up into the gardens of the world. Give off wonderful fragrance that will bless those that are around them as well. Such is the power of speaking upright and being silent when we should be.
When you know why you were born, you'll have... Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.